We're going to be in the book of Galatians. And we're going to be around the second chapter. I'll probably review a little bit of the first chapter. But Brother Derek got into a little deal today. And he was accused of being in a cult. This Catholic fella, and I thought I'd do this. I've done this before, but it's been a while. What constitutes a cult? Well, I can say that, and I've said it before many times, an independent Baptist church especially can be very dangerously close to being a cult. We need to watch what we're doing. But we're not a cult, not by the worldly definition. There is a definition of the word that would apply, but it's not a negative thing, just a group. But they mean more than that when they say that. Now, I've got a Kingdom of the Cults, Walter Martin, got another, The Chaos of Cults by Van Balen, and there's plenty of others. The Creation Museum, you get a whole set of books that they printed because they did a whole conference on cults at the Creation Museum. There's about, I don't know how many books, there's several books of them that you can get. I don't have them, wouldn't mind getting them, but they're probably more than I need. Anyway, and then I've got my own opinions of what a cult is. So I'm going to give you real quick what constitutes a cult in the negative use of the term. Like a young people get into and can't get out of and all of that. Well, not even counting those kinds of things. I'm going to give you the first item. Each cult has its own belief system. Now, do you know who fits that more than anybody in this world? The Roman Catholic Church. Now, you say, well, we use the Bible. Yeah, we do. We don't own the Bible. But the Bible is the Word of God, and we subscribe to the Bible. We don't have a man or men or woman writings that we adapt as our authority. But now the Roman Catholic Church said, well, they believe the Bible. No, they don't. They most definitely do not. They've got a history, in the first place, of banning the Bible. We talked about that when we went through the Trail of Blood. 1129, the Council of Toulouse. They forbade people to have a Bible. And how many people have been brutally tortured and murdered because they were caught with the Bible? This fellow talked about confession. That's where they would get their information. Everybody had to go to confession. And that priest would be sitting there behind the curtain. And he would question them about who had a Bible. Who was meeting clandestinely at night out in the wood or wherever, and who had a Bible. That's where they got most of their information for that. Anyway, The Roman Catholic Church, their top authority, the Pope, they even believe that the Pope, when he speaks ex cathedra, that means from the so-called chair of Peter, that he is infallible. He can't make a mistake when he speaks ex cathedra. And then their councils and the traditions of the fathers. Thomas Aquinas and all of that bunch. Now, what about the Bible? Only if you read their notes. But they don't want you reading any of it. So that's, the Catholic Church is the biggest cult in the whole world. Jehovah's False Witnesses. They have Charles Taze Russell and his so-called scripture studies. You say, well, they believe the Bible. No, they don't. I don't want you talking to them. Stay away from them. Don't bid them Godspeed. Don't let them in your house. But if you ever happen to see one, he or she will have a book. It won't be the Holy Bible. It'll say the New World Translation. And I told one of the big fellas, I said, you put that thing down, that's not a Bible. You said we're going to have a Bible study. And that's not a version, that's a perversion. And I proved it to him. Anyway, I don't think I have to be nice to heretics. I don't see where Jesus was nice to heretics. Not at all. Anyway, but Charles Russell says, if you dare try to interpret the Bible without his scripture studies, you enter into a dark world. If you had to make a choice between his scripture studies and the Bible, choose his scripture studies. Now that's what the founder of the JWs says. And they all follow that. There is a cult. They're not as big as the Roman Catholic Church, but they are definitely a cult. The Mormons, they have the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, the Doctrine and the Covenants, and the Bible. Insofar as it's properly translated, and they're the only ones who can properly translate it. You have Christian Science, they're neither Christian nor scientist. But their founder is Mary Baker Eddy. Her book, her writing is Science and Health and the Key to the Scriptures. And her doctrine is you're not sick, you don't hurt, you just think you do. But somehow she called on all kinds of doctors before she died. I think she died a drunk too. But anyway, so they have their own belief system. There are similarities. I didn't mention the Armstrongites, Herbert W. Armstrong, and the World Tomorrow, and all of their Tomorrow's World publications, and they publicize, pass them out all over the world. They are combinations. You can find evidence in Armstrongism of Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventist, Christian Scientists, Jehovah's False Witnesses, Catholicism, and even Muslim. just a hodgepodge of everything. Number two, each cult is extremely closed-minded and isolationist. They are cut off from everybody and from their families. One that's like that is this Scientology. What's his name? The actor, dancer? He started out down at Danville at the Pioneer Playhouse. I can't think of his name now. He's real well known.
There's more
than
one. Tom Cruise is one.
All right, well, they're in that Scientology. And that's one thing they absolutely do, is they cut you out away from your family completely. Husbands and wives separate them, cut you totally away from your family. So they're isolationist and they're closed-minded. For example, Jim Jones, and I forget what he called his outfit. They were in Indianapolis, Indiana, and he got a bunch of people following him. And one time he got in the pulpit, he closed his Bible and put it away. He said, we're not going to open it again. And then they left and went to Guyana. And then when those senators went down there to check on them, because all the families of those people were involved in that, wanted them checked on, well, they murdered some of the senators. And then they all drank the Kool-Aid. That's where that comes from. In their big vats, they put... Was it cyanide? I think it was cyanide. Kool-Aid. Dumped cyanide in it. And the mothers got the kids to drink it. And then they drank it. And then when the authorities got there, they were all, I forgot how many hundreds of them, dead all over the place. That's cult. And there's others like them now. But I'm just talking about these that people think are kind of normal. They're not normal. Number three, they have a total intolerance for any other view but their own. You talk to a JW, you talk to a Mormon, if you can get them out of their spiel, they're lost. They don't know what to do. They've got that all memorized. And I'm pretty good at getting them out of it. I've done quite a bit of that in my time. And then fourthly, they all have an absolute human leader that they all refer back to. So for an independent Baptist church, I appreciate loyalty. I appreciate you loving your pastor, but I'm not the authority. If God doesn't say it, it's not worth listening to. And we need to remember that. So you can find some others. But those are, I think, four obvious ones that are cult. Now, you can spit that back at him, brother. They are a cult. The Roman Catholic Church is the biggest cult that I know of. Well, I better get on. All right, now we're in the book of Galatians, chapter 2. He says, then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. But now, you can tell, then it's a continuation. So let's back up to verse 17. Well, 16, he says, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, that's Gentiles, in verse chapter 1. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He's already said he got his gospel by direct revelation. Neither went I up to Jerusalem. Where was he? He was in Antioch in the Arabian desert. To them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus, Syria. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. So he spent 3 years by himself being personally tutored by the Lord Jesus Christ. So to that time, he has not conferred with flesh and blood, not even the other apostles. Not that he has animosity against them, but he wants to be sure that everybody knows that he got his doctrine from the Lord. So, I went up to Jerusalem after 3 years to see Peter, and abode, remained with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save or except. Save just means except. James, the Lord's brother, would be a half-brother. Incidentally, the Catholics teach that Mary had no other children. You wonder what to do with this. Now the things which, well, they don't care what the Bible says. It doesn't matter. What matters is what their notes say and what the fathers say. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Well, Brother Paul, we know you don't lie. Afterwards, see now then and then afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me, and that's how they did. Then, see how it continues? 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Now he's going to Jerusalem, but a lot of time has passed. And I went up by revelation from God and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. This is at Jerusalem. This is the mother church. That's the mother church of all of them. Shouldn't have to do this. But then he says privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now what he means by that is the ones that are better known and of reputation, I didn't confront them in front of everybody. I did it privately because that's a way to get booted out. And you have to show respect, and that's what he did. All right, so, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. All right? Now, those who have been there with us on Friday nights, we found out that Paul got Timothy to get circumcised. Look over at Acts 16. Acts 16. Verse 1. Then came he to Derbe in Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Timothy. 1 and 2 Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, she was a Jewish woman, and believed, but his father was a Greek, a Gentile. So he was a half and half, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, good reputation. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So he did that because there wasn't anybody teaching or attempting to teach that it was necessary to be circumcised in order to be saved. It was just simply expedient for the Jews. Now they won't question that he's truly been converted. But there wasn't any question. Are they thinking that I'm doing this in order to save him? No, there wasn't any question of the gospel right there. So, over here, though, he said, verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. It meant they couldn't make him, they couldn't compel him to be circumcised. So what's the difference? Well, you see, the whole issue here is you have Judaizers, that is people who are Jews but claim to have been converted, and yet they're trying to revert everybody back to Judaism. So those are Judaizers, which were a constant problem in Paul's ministry and even Peter. These Judaizers. So if Paul had let Titus be compelled to be circumcised, he would have been given quarter to them that's necessary to save you. Well, he's not going to let that go. He didn't do that. As some commentators try to say, that meant that he just let him be done voluntarily, not compelled. That's ridiculous. And he said, and that, because of false brethren, they're brethren, but they're false brethren, unawares, brought in. Who put them in there? Well, I'll have to say that the enemy interjected those into the church. False brethren. And they came in privily or privately to spy out our liberty. To destroy our liberty. Now, that's not liberty to do anything you want to do. That's liberty to believe and practice the gospel. Amen. Which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Well, Acts 15, we'll get to that in just a minute. Look at this. To whom we gave place. We didn't let them have room to stand. By subjection. We stood our ground with these false brethren and didn't let them bully us around. That's what he's saying. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. That meant a lot to me early on in my ministry. I wanted to be known for preaching the truth. I did. I wasn't preaching fairy tales and myths. I wasn't preaching Aesop's fables or Mickey Mouse cartoons. I'm preaching the Word of God, the God who cannot lie. And I didn't want to be seen sitting under a heretic. Because I thought people recognize me for preaching the sovereign grace of God, the gospel of grace, and then here I am subjecting myself to heresy. No, it ain't going to happen. I had a lot of people get mad at me over that. I'd go to funeral homes. But if a heretic was going to preach at funeral, I didn't go. I'd go to the funeral home. I'd go to the home. I'd go to the hospital. But I did not go and park myself right underneath that heretic for him to instruct me in his heresy. People thought maybe that's too extreme. I don't know. That's the way I saw it. I believe that's the way Paul saw it. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, I like the way he puts that. These big acts, they think they are anyway. It makes no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. The big boys added nothing to me. He's just telling you, he's God's man. He's not a man pleaser. He's not under subjection to any man. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, well, the uncircumcision is the Gentiles. As the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, Peter had his calling, and I had mine. For he that wrought worked effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So he's not giving ground to any of them. And when James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, if they were not, he's not saying they seemed to be, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, get this, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Doesn't sound like that he looked at Peter as the first pope. Does it? He withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Well, let's see what he's supposed to be blamed for. For before that certain came from James in Jerusalem, Peter, he did eat with the Gentiles, sitting at a table eating with them. You're eating with somebody, you're having fellowship with them. But when they were come, the Jewish brethren, converts, but they were Jewish, when they came from Jerusalem, he withdrew and separated himself. He got his plate and moved. Fearing them which were of the circumcision. Peter was a little bit antsy about those Jews coming. He didn't want to be out of the club, so to speak. And he just could. Have you ever had somebody that was supposed to be a brother or a sister in Christ, even a preacher or a pastor, and you get visit where they are at their own church having a conference or something, and they wouldn't speak to you? You ever have that experience? I have. I don't like people like that. I really don't. They're phonies. And I don't like people that are phony. And I don't go back around those people. And I don't have them back around me. So that's what he did. Oh, look who's coming in that door. I got to go. Here, I'll see you later. I go and get over there where the Jews are. That's what he did. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. Dissemble, that's a verb. Faked it. Hypocrite. Put on a show. That's what dissembled means. Well, the other Jews doing the same thing Peter was doing. I guess they all is kind of like a rattlesnake in a pit of rattlesnakes. I don't know. All trying to put on a false face here. And even Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Now that word is the noun form. But here's what Paul thinks about it all. And he's a converted Jew. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Amen. Look over to Acts 15 real quick. Now you need to remember that in Acts 15, the big subject is the Jerusalem conference at the church at Jerusalem. Certain men, verse 1, which came down from Judea, taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. There they are, teaching that heresy in Jerusalem. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they said, oh, you ought not to ever argue. Get out of here. What do you think that is? What do you think disputation is? There's a time to argue. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church authority, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. There's your heretics. Amen. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, everybody hear that? Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. He's not talking about the Holy Ghost of salvation. He's talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit in the church. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken, listen unto me. Simeon, that's Simon. There's Luke 2:25 and 34. It also uses that Simeon. That's Aramaic. Hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, After this I'll return, we'll build again the tabernacle of David. He's talking about the church, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. None of this was second hand. By the way, this is from eternity. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which are from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Leave them alone about your Judaism. They're not Jews. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and all of us need to do that. And that we abstain from fornication, and all of us must do that. And that we abstain from things strangled and from blood, and all of us must do that. And that's what they left them with. Now, back to Galatians. Verse 17 of chapter 2. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ a minister of sin? God forbid, or let it not be. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Pretty good stuff. Let's stand.